Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Garantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Kiriraj, Maharaj ki. If I go for Imanandi, so tonight we'll continue with chapter 19. I'll go from verses 9 to 15 and discuss the continuing description of Maharajiyati, with the analogy of the he-goat and the she-goat. Very interesting chapter. Text number 9. Being very sorry, the he-goat, who was subservient to his wife, followed the she-goat on the road and tried his best to flatter her, but he could not pacify her. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, he analyzes some of the Sanskrit words in the verse. So Prabhupada translates that the he-goat was following the she-goat and he was henpecked. So Prabhupada would use this word. Sometimes the husband becomes henpecked by the wife, which means the wife sometimes gives the husband a hard time, and sometimes the husband gives the wife a hard time. So both are there. But in a cultural sense, or in a Vedic sense, the wife is supposed to be a little bit submissive to the husband. That is the duty of a wife. She should be a little bit submissive. So that means that if she is acting like that, then the husband becomes peaceful. But when she is henpecking him, which means she is constantly attacking him, or constantly making verbal abuse or verbal criticism, then the husband becomes disturbed. So Prabhupada says henpecked. Or it means the wife can just be domineering. That is the nature of women anyway. They'll be domineering to some degree. That is their nature. And Prabhupada says that Satyabhama, she was henpecked. Krishna was henpecked by Satyabhama. Satyabhama would constantly be giving Krishna some difficulty, which was pleasing to Krishna because she is a pure devotee. But that is the nature. They like to dominate. The women sometimes like to dominate. So the husband is feeling dominated and he's being henpecked or continuously. So Prabhupada says that where there is no argument between the husband and wife, then Lakshmi, or the goddess of fortune, comes and resides in that home. So it is the nature of the wife to be a little bit domineering. It is the nature of the husband to be somewhat domineering. But there's still, there should be cooperation between the two. And when the both of them are getting along properly, then everything becomes very peaceful in the house. And then Prabhupada says that the goddess of fortune, she comes there, and everything prospers. And it's very easy to make spiritual advancement when the husband and the wife are cooperating nicely. When there is friction between the husband and wife, it becomes very difficult to advance. Very difficult to chant peacefully and to advance. So the wife should be a little submissive. The husband should also be treating the wife very nicely. And then, if we have this right combination, everything becomes auspicious. But we see in this pastime, then Yayati is describing himself as the he-goat and his wife as the she-goat. He's saying that she is giving him too much of a hard time. And then everything becomes inauspicious or very difficult. And in the example of the he-goat, he is saying that he is following the she-goat and he's completely captivated by Maituni Bhav, which means attraction between the sexes. So when the attraction is very strong between the sexes, then the husband, he becomes subjugated by lust. And when he is subjugated by lust, he cannot think clearly. And when he cannot think clearly, then he does not see his wife properly. And when he does not see the wife properly, then she does not feel properly appreciated. And then she will become unpleasant, then he will become unpleasant. So the husband must have control of the senses. Prabhupada emphasizes that in this section. The wife must be submissive. The husband has control. The wife has some submissive quality. Then everything will be very pleasant. Grihastha ashram ki?
Yeah.
Okay. Any points? The she-goat went to the residence of a brahmana who was the maintainer of another she-goat. And that brahmana angrily cut off the he-goat's dangling testicles. But at the he-goat's request, the brahmana later rejoined them by the power of mystic yoga. So the descriptions in this chapter are very extraordinary. Imagine if you went and read this to the next door neighbor just here. They think, what sort of a movement is this? His testicles are cut off, and then by mystic yoga they are replaced. I mean, what would they think about us? If they heard what we were discussing and reading, they think, are you people actually adults? Or are you people actually serious? Or are you sober? Or is this realistic? So the ninth canto is full of these kinds of descriptions. The ninth canto is a real testing ground leading into the tenth canto. Ninth canto has a lot of extraordinary things taking place. We've seen the opening chapters and who was it? Walked into the forest?
Sujumna.
Yeah, walks into the forest, turns into a woman. And these are very extraordinary situations. So ninth canto is really, but if you, the point is that we should follow the philosophical thread, because there is a deep philosophical thread which is being taught to us. And what is the philosophical thread? We have to give up attachment to the opposite sex. That's what we have to extract from the commentary. Okay. So, Mitesh, you want to read the purport?
Your Shukra characters. If you literally describe as the husband of another Shiva, this indicates that the relationship between the husband and wife in any society, whether high or lower in any society, is nothing but the same relationship between ego and Shiva. But the money relationship between the man and woman is one of the sex. Then, Maitanadi, Brahma, Sukha, Shukra. Shukra Charya was an Acharya. Which involved the transfer of semen from the goat to Shiva. The words Kastit Ajaya Swami expressly indicate here that Shukracharya was no better than reality. Both of them were interested in family affairs generated by Shukra or semen. Shukracharya first cursed reality to become old, so he could no longer depend on them. But when Shukracharya saw that reality's emasculation would make his own daughter a victim of punishment, he used his mystic power to restore reality's masculinity. Before he used his power of mystic yoga for family affairs, and after realizing his supreme personality is awarded, this exercise in the magic of yoga was no better than the affairs of egos and people. Yogic power should properly be utilized to realize his supreme personality is awarded, and the Lord himself recommends his power to the response for self. Yogiram of his salvation. Of all yogis, he always abides in the great faith, worshipping him in transcendental service, is most intimately united with him in yoga and the highest of all.
Any points here?
Because there is no better than Ayati.
Generally, we notice that mystic yogis tend to misuse their powers at one point or other in their life. But as per the words from the Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam of the Salvation, Vastate Rantarasmana, the Lord is actually indicating that a bhakti yogi is the one who is the best of all the yogis because he is constantly thinking of him and offering devotional service.
Anything else?
He has to use his potency or his capability in the service of the Lord. Then he can please the Lord. Otherwise, as we can see, if we do for the material motive, the material motive is strong and capable.
So Prabhupada has pointed this out through the Bhagavatam so far, that married life is based on sex attraction. That is why we get married. Because it is based on either subtle sex life or gross sex life or both. So we are attracted to the opposite sex. That's why we're married. Otherwise, if there's no attraction, we wouldn't need to get married. You don't need a relationship with the opposite sex. Prabhupada says you need marriage as much as you need a material body. We don't need a material body. The material body is given to us by Krishna because we want to enjoy separately from him. But when you just want to serve Krishna, you don't need the material body anymore. So marriage is a byproduct of material identification or false ego. As long as you have false ego, then you'll be attached to the material body. As long as you have sex desire, then you'll be attached to the material body. So sex desire needs to be given up. As Prabhupada said, it is the greatest enemy. And Krishna says in the Gita, it's also the greatest enemy of the conditioned soul. So we have to give up our attachment to the opposite sex. We've had this same attachment for lifetimes. We're taking birth as women. We have that attachment to men. And then we take birth as men. And we have that attachment to women. So it is the same problem. It is lust. Only Arjuna, which is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of the soul. So Krishna says that it must be given up. Prabhupada says that it must be given up. And it is the active principle of the material world. It is the reason why we enter into grihastha life. It is subtle sex life. So eventually we have to give up that desire to enjoy the opposite sex. At this point in time, we are captivated by the opposite sex. We have attachment to the opposite sex. We have to get that attachment up. How do we get the attachment up? Through elevating ourselves to the Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada points out that do not use your energy uselessly. The Bhagavatam says, Shrama evihi kevalam. Useless waste of time. Everything except the pursuit of Krishna consciousness is a useless waste of time. So trying to enjoy your senses separate from Krishna, that is a useless waste of time. It is not what we're created for, to enjoy separately from Krishna. We're created to enjoy in Krishna's service. That's the point. We're meant to enjoy as servants of Krishna. But at this point in time, we're forgetting Krishna, and therefore we are trying to enjoy separately from Him. But that's not what we're created for. We're created to enjoy or to serve directly Krishna. And when we directly serve Krishna, we will be happy and satisfied. Because that is our swarupa, our constitutional position. But at this point in time, we're acting unnaturally. It is unnatural for us to enjoy separate from Krishna, but we're trying to do that. But it ends in dissatisfaction for the conditioned soul. So therefore, eventually, we need to take to Krishna consciousness. And then we will become completely satisfied. We need to use our energy. Our time, our energy, Prabhupada says, don't waste time. Use your energy to serve Krishna and to realize Krishna. That is the goal of human life. Not to waste energy in material activities. Any points? Any other points? You two. You need to calm down a little bit, you two. You're playing around a little bit too much. Settle down a little bit. Anything else? My dear wife, when the he-goat had his testicles restored, he enjoyed the she-goat he had gotten from the well. But although he continued to enjoy for many, many years, even now he has not been fully satisfied. What have abundant for me?
When one is bound by affection for one's life, one is attracted to sexual desires that are very difficult to overcome. So according to various civilizations, one must voluntarily leave his so-called home and go to the forest. Human life is meant for such tapasya or austerity. By the austerity of voluntarily stopping sex life at all, one is the first to engage in spiritual activities. In the association of devotees, one achieves the actual purpose of human life.
What are the points? So when will that day come? When will you do that, Sri Chaitanya? Which day will you do it though? Not sure. Soon. Okay, any other points?
What would you say, in the Western country they are going for same-sex men? It is most absurd.
What's that?
Instead of natural.
Natural means free man and woman. Something we have to deal with. Probably better not to ask me because I don't have a problem with it. It's So don't ask me, because you're probably disappointed in my answer, because I don't have a problem with it. I know devotees in this temple who are same-sex relationship, not married, but same-sex, and they've initiated devotees, and they're fine. I know devotees in other temples that are same-sex marriage, they're initiated devotees, and they're fine. You know, I take the dust from their feet. They're nice devotees. Wonderful service attitude. They're wonderful devotees. So I don't have a problem with it. So I might not be the right person to ask. If you want a different answer. The point is that in Kali Yuga, these things are going to become more and more common. So, you know, whether or not we'll have marriage, you know, in the future in ISKCON, whether or not there'll be a marriage, I don't know. But the relationship, you're not going to be able to stop that in Kali Yuga, because it's becoming more and more common. So in my opinion, it's not my opinion, but in my opinion, and also many senior devotees in our society, they just encourage devotees, just do your Krishna consciousness and you live like that, and follow the principles, chant your rounds. It's not really any different, actually. Because I know two devotees like in this community, and they're same-sex relationship, initiated, and they're first-class devotees. So, I mean, I don't have any problem with that. But many people do have a problem with that. It's going to be a difficult thing. Like that. Marriage is a different thing. Whether or not we'll actually have a marriage.
Krishna says, even one of the four religions is no necessary. Even if it's not to produce Krishna consciousness, it's not accepted. How can we have same sex relationship? Because if they are not having a relationship, then they are not going to have any
kids.
That's right. They shouldn't be having any relationship. But they're not going to produce any kids.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean they can't be friends or love each other.
But then if it is friends or loving, then you are not having any bodily relationship. If that is a thing, yeah. You are living as a friend, not as any relationship. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a Krishna conscious grihastha relationship. Because we're only having sex to have children, so technically that is celibacy. So in one sense, we're just friends. So then, two friends or two friends, it's kind of the same thing. So. What's the problem?
Yeah, so they shouldn't be called gay or anything, because they're not going to have any relationship. They're just two friends living together.
Yeah, so you can say it like that if you
want. But if they're going to have a relationship, then they shouldn't be initiated.
Yeah, that's that. That's that. Yeah, I mean, that is that. You know, they have to follow the principles, that's the same. So then, but, you know, I mean, they are... Yeah, I mean, it's all technical. It is what it is. It's in the Bhagavatam. I mean, homosexuality is in the Bhagavatam. You know, it's mentioned that they exist from the beginning. You know, when the universe began, it was there. And it's been there, you know, in the Mahabharata, it's there. Right. If you go all the way through the Bhagavatam, all the way down to now, it's there. It's always been there. So it is what it is. So just now it's more prevalent. So if we completely say, you know, it's wrong or isolate those people, then I don't know if that would be Lord Chaitanya's mood. Lord Chaitanya's mood would be to engage those people in Krishna consciousness. But the point is, whether you are homosexual means gay, or whether you're heterosexual means like we are, then whichever one you are, you still have to follow four regulative principles and you still have to chant 16 rounds. So it's not really any different. You choose to live with a man or choose to live with a woman, that's, you know. Most people live with a man and woman anyway, so it's only some people might do like that. But to say that, you know, they can't be a part of ISKCON or they can't be initiated, I don't think that's Lord Chaitanya's mood.
This is the first time in Ramayana, I love it. Ramayana, Ramayana. Lord Rama is going to the forest and then to
all the citizens, children, everybody comes with him. Finally, he goes to the Sarayu River and he stands there and tells that my dear citizens, no, it's a male and female in his hospital, and the children, please go back. Now, from here, I'm going to cross the river, go to the forest. And then everyone goes, but one set of people actually wait or waiting there. And then they ask, why are you waiting? And then they say, we are neither male nor female, so that's why we are waiting. And then Lord Ram says, you also please go back and don't worry. The coming times, you are actually going to rule. Time will come where you can actually know. So it is it.
Yeah, it's called Kali Yuga. This is the way it is. So. Any other points?
We also know Karuna Mahas after the discussion, I have noticed that whether it's you attracted to male or you attracted to female, that desire is there. Simple desire. So it doesn't matter if you are attracted to the same gender or to the same. The core desire that the reason you are attracted to the same is there.
Yes, O latecomer, O best of those who come at 8:20. I don't believe you, but anyway. Must be a traffic block every night. Can't help it. I don't believe you, but anyway. I don't believe that either, but anyway. I want you to come on time. Either come on time or don't come. That's what I want. That's your choice. You'll be seeing the temple every day then, that means. It's your choice.
I want to go to the temple.
You should come on time at least. That's just being polite, that's all.
And last time I was going to tell you, during when I was writing the exam, the children were disturbing me or not. And I did not have enough
time. That's a separate point. That's got nothing to do with you coming late.
Yes, I wanted to send you an email because I couldn't concentrate at all on that.
That's a different point. It's got nothing to do with you coming late every time. Yeah, but that's a separate point to you coming late every single time. Yeah, that's a different point.
You want me to tell something or not?
It's up to you. I want you to come on time. That's the main thing I want. It's up to you what you want to do. That's not strict. If you come on time, Srila Prabhupada said when you do deity worship, you have to be clean and punctual. You're not punctual, so then how can you say I'm being strict? If you want to blame someone, blame Prabhupada, because it's his movement. He said we should come on time.
Half the class is not present as simple. What about that? Half the class is as simple.
That's a different point. That's got nothing to do with you coming late every time.
No, but most of it, they are not coming, they are not even coming to class.
Still has nothing to do with you coming late.
When you have attendance, I take attendance.
I take attendance and I speak to people if they don't come. That still has nothing to do with you coming late every single time.
Okay, yeah, I'll come late.
Okay, we will see. I'll see it when I believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. Any other point? Okay. So you're satisfied with the homosexual answer? Point is that it is there. That's the point. And in Kali Yuga, it's going to be more and more there. That's the point. So you're over 70 now. I'm in my 40s. In your generation, things were very different. And Prabhupada, the way he dealt with it was very different to the way it is now. Like that. So for an older person, it's not surprising that they would find it more abnormal or strange. that. But for those in our generation, it's pretty much normal because it's been there, you know, ever since I grew up, it was always there. So it seems like many of the gurus in our movement, the way they deal with it, you know, my shiksha gurus, the way they deal with it, they don't have a problem with it. Like I said, I mean, our gurus have given initiation to devotees in the last few years in this temple who are openly in a same-sex relationship, and there's no problem with that. As long as they follow the four regulative principles, as long as they chant 16 rounds a day, and these devotees do, and they're very, very good devotees. So as long as, you know, as long as people follow everything properly, we should accept them. That's Lord Chaitanya's move. And Bhakti Tirtha Swami is one of my main shiksha gurus. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he was very open to this, to including these people. Because if you cut them out, then many people, it's not Lord Chaitanya's move to reject people. It's Lord Chaitanya's move to bring them to Krishna. So we have to bring them to Krishna.
He said, I've got so many fruits, I want people to distribute.
Yeah, and these devotees do good service. They do good service, they preach, they serve. You know, they're better devotees than me, I can honestly say that. They're better devotees than I am. But they happen to be gay, that's their conditioning. You know, their subtle body is mixed up with the gross body. So to me it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. As long as they're following four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds, then we offer respect.
You want to call it illicit sex?
It's not illicit sex because they're not having sex. If you're following that principle, then whether you're homosexual or heterosexual devotees are having problem following that regulative principle. You know, many devotees have told me over the years they're having problems with that. Initiated devotees sometimes falling down, having problems with that principle. So, you know, it's not about which relationship you're in, it's about following the principle strictly. That's really the issue. Not so much, you know, what type of a relationship you're in, that's external. But we don't say you can have illicit sex. We say no illicit sex. That is our principle in our movement. So that does not become watered down. Is it okay? That's as good as we can do. Because all the generations are different. You know, I mean, you are much senior to all of us. So, you know, I can understand in your generation, it's very, very different. So, you know, what's going on now? I mean, you look at the kids now, you know, they're so different to, like, the way I am, and I'm so different to the way you are, your generation. Like, that's, each generation is changing a lot. I mean, the way the kids now speak to their parents, it's like, yeah, you look at it, you think, what are you, I would not speak to my mother the way my daughter speaks to me. And I say to her, I say, what are you saying? I said, I would never say that to my mother. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they just speak to you like, you know, like.
In India, we would never call a teacher or anyone elder with their name.
By the name, yeah. And then in this school over here, the Middle Park School, some of the teachers ask the children to call them by their first name.
Oh, yeah.
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 Not all. No. My daughter's school, no, it's not like that. They have to say Mr. Hodge. No, they're not allowed to call. Yeah, they have to say Mr. Hodge. They're not allowed to call by the first name. And when I grew up, my school was not like that. We had to say, you know, like, you can't just say, hey, Margaret. You had to say Mrs. Tenberg. You know, that's the way you said it. Like that. But now, like in this school and some of the schools, you know, they say speak by the name like that. So everything is changing. So, you know, this homosexual situation, it's the way Kali Yuga is changing. But the most important point is we bring everyone to Krishna's. Yeah, that's the point. That's the point.
Unnatural.
Yeah, basically it's unnatural. But what's the problem? Right, it's everywhere now.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? So if you even call it unnatural, people are not going to join our movement. So we have to be very careful how we present it. You know, if we say, you know, we accept you're in our movement, but factually speaking, you're born from the anus of Lord Brahma. You know, I mean, who's going to join our movement? Now, you can join our movement, but you're coming from Lord Brahma's backside. You know, I mean, we can't present it like that. We just have to be very accepting, very tolerant, and like that. That's all. That's the point. Not the body. The body, who cares? I mean, Kali Yuga, if someone comes to our movement and is chanting 16 rounds of following the following principles, we bow down to them. You know, we don't say, oh yeah, but you are like this. You know, you can't do that. Because, you know, it's so rare in Kali Yuga that someone will even take to this movement. So if someone comes, regardless they're homosexual or heterosexual, whatever they are, you just bow down and you say, you know, how can I serve you? Yeah. It's going to be very, it already is, and it's going to be more and more prevalent. It's complicated. So. But let's not make it more complicated. Stick to Bhagavatam means? Means?
He understood that from very
point, unnatural. Then you're missing the point.
You want to go very deep and contemplate.
Yeah, but you have to be accepting. If in the back of your mind you're always thinking that's unnatural, then that will cause problems. Okay, yeah, Bhagavatam says one thing. But in this day and age, how we perceive it, how we treat it, you know, the way I do it, because these devotees who are gay, they're my friends, and they're very good friends, and I just respect them. I honestly do. They're better devotees than I am. Their service attitude is better than mine. So how do I look at them? Oh, you're lower than me because you're unnatural. No, I look at them, they're higher than me. That's how we should see. Otherwise, that's an anatta in your heart. It means you're judging according to material calculation. Like that. So you have to be careful. Like that. The Bhagavatam says one thing, but that's a different situation. You're talking about millions of years ago, or thousands of years ago. You know, we're in Kali Yuga now, so we have to preach according to time, place, and circumstance. Prabhupada himself changed things. Brahmacharinis, you know, 5,000 years ago, that was unacceptable. Prabhupada changed it, time, place, and circumstance. So we have to be careful how we see these things. Any other point?
Maybe this is one of the problems. Is that active people in my volunteer group, they also have the same issue in the law. So the reason many of the gay religion in India, because it's not accepted then, they even follow the own religion. And even families reject them. And because they have that particular problem. So it's really sad that. And it is really nice point that we have to accept them and at least appreciate them.
Yeah. I don't even see it. Honestly, I don't even see it. If I see someone who's like that, I don't even see that. I just see, can this person be engaged in Krishna service? That's what I see. I don't see, you know, this person like that. Because, yeah, otherwise, you're going to say this person's black, this person is white. You know, like Bhakti Tirtha Swami? So he was in a black body, right? So when he joined the temple, Prabhupada came to the temple, I think in New York, it might have been. So Prabhupada came to the temple, and he said to Prabhupada, some of the devotees are prejudiced against me, because I am a black person. And Prabhupada said, if this concerns you, or if you are disturbed by this, he said, you are no better than them. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said that. You're no better than them. Because if they're seeing you that you're black, that means they're in the bodily concept of life. And if you are in a black body and then you are feeling disturbed by their consciousness, you're the same as them. So if someone is homosexual and then you're saying, oh, you know, they are unnatural like that, that means you're in the bodily concept of life. What should you see them as? Jivatma. You should see them as Krishna Das, servant of Krishna. Right? Then you see things properly. So that's how we have to learn to see. Not that, oh, this is like this, this is like, otherwise you, everyone. You know, I mean, technically speaking, I shouldn't even be sitting in this room. You know, because I'm not even born in the Aryan race. You know, so technically I'm not even, you know, according to Vedic standards, I shouldn't even be worshipping the deity or so many things. You know. But then the Bhagavatam says, regardless, even if you're born in the family of the dog eater, if you chant the holy name, you can become elevated. So that's our philosophy. Because by, according to Vedic standards, I don't even exist. I still can't go into the temple in Jagannath Puri. Bhaktivedanta Swami got in because they thought he was from South India.
He went in?
Yeah. Yeah, because he's dark colour. They thought he was from South India. So he just walked in. He got all the way in, he saw Jagannath. And then on the way out, you know, the second time they said something to him. And then he kind of looked at them and they understood and then he left them. So, you know, bodily concept of life, that is not Lord Chaitanya's movement. Lord Chaitanya's movement is to embrace everyone and bring them to Krishna. That's the point. But you must follow the four regulative principles and you must chant 16 rounds. That's the standard. Is it clear? Does it answer your question? Yeah. It's a technical thing. It's a technical thing. Like that. But we have to see it properly, otherwise we'll commit offences. Like that. Even one devotee was telling me, I went to one devotee's house for prasadam tonight. The devotee was telling me, in one of the temples in India, many devotees are initiated by one guru, and then another group of devotees initiated by another guru, and then another by another guru. And there's like three factions or three parties in the temple, and they don't talk so much, they don't get along so much. It's like three different... Like that. So what's that? You know, that's not Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada didn't want it, like, you know, but that's the nature of the conditioned soul. Conditioned soul is always looking for differences instead of unity. And instead of bringing everyone together, the conditioned soul is always like, oh, you are black, you are white, you are gay, you are initiated by that guru. So any excuse to cause, you know, disharmony, that's the material consciousness. Spiritual consciousness is you bring everyone together.
Prabhupada's there to cooperate.
Yeah. Okay. So, So in this verse, number 11, my dear wife, when the he-goat had his testicles restored, he enjoyed the she-goat. He enjoyed the she-goat he had gotten from the well. But although he continued to enjoy for many, many years, even now he has not been fully satisfied. So the point is, even when the desire is not completely gone, at some point in time you have to renounce. That's what the Bhagavatam is teaching. That's why it says in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says all through this section, at the age of 50, you have to get serious. And that doesn't mean at the age of 50 the desires are gone. It doesn't mean like your attraction to the opposite sex is gone, but at some point in time you have to get very serious. Right? And when is the best time to get serious? Now. Don't worry about 50. What's that? We might not. Yeah, we might not. Probably we will, but we might not. But the point is, get serious now if you can. Get serious now. If you can't, then on your 50th birthday, get really, really serious. You know, now I'm 50, like, let's get serious. So sooner or later, you have to do that. Sooner or later. But it's better if we just do it now. Just get serious when you've got the chance. I know in my life as a devotee, you know, sometimes you go through struggles and other times you go through times when it's very kind of easy or you get a lot of mercy or a lot of, you know, sometimes, everyone knows what I'm talking about? You know, sometimes really everything just goes and you just make advancement and other times, so whenever those times come, when it's happening and I can feel I've got momentum, I just go as quick as I can and I try to go as far as I can. Make as much advancement as I can because I know it's all going to crumble apart and it'll become difficult again in the future. Yeah, so when it's good, just go maximum, go as far as you can. and then it becomes difficult again, next obstacle comes, and then you slow down and you have to get through that, and then again when it becomes easier, then go again as much as you can. So the point is, get serious now, because you don't know when the next opportunity will come. And you know, when you're 50, it's not like all the desires are gone. You know, you'll still have sex desire, you'll still have this desire, you'll still have that desire. You know, many desires will still be there. But when you get to 50, the Bhagavad Gita is saying, get serious, be serious. Don't waste time. And Prabhupada says in the purport that when that time comes, look for advanced association. Find advanced association and take that association. That's the secret. When you get to that age, then find the advanced association and progress. Which actually means now. Because we have an opportunity now. If you have an opportunity for advanced association, take it and advance as much as you can. Because advanced association is not always available. So when it's there, you just take as much as you can. And then when you get to 50, your whole life should be based upon that. Just getting the best association you can. And Prabhupada says that's how you progress quickly in Krishna consciousness. Any points? Oh, my dear wife with beautiful eyebrows, I am exactly like that he-goat. For I am so poor in intelligence that I am captivated by your beauty and have forgotten the real task of self-realization. Sri Chaitanya.
If one remains the victim of the so-called beauty of his wife, his family, like it's nothing but a dark web, in fact, my father, Raham, and the poor, existence in such a dark web is certainly suicidal. If one wants to live, from the miserable condition of material life, one must voluntarily give up his lusty relationship with his wife. Otherwise, there is no question of self-realization. Unless one is extremely advanced in spiritual consciousness, household life is nothing but a dark web in which one commits suicide. Lord Maharaj therefore recommended that in the due time, at least after one's 50th year, one must give up household life and go to the forest. There one should seek shelter of the lotus feet of Hari.
So what is the point?
Don't be a victim in the dark then.
Yeah.
So most of the time when I read like scriptures, this is one doubt which haunts me all the time.
What is that?
In the current life, what you say, Kaliyuga life, we find terrorists or criminals, most of the people are in the forest now. Why every time it says us to go, even Naxalites or whatever you call, in our place we call Naxalites, those people right who are not satisfied with their life or their goal, they go and stay in the forest. But as devotees, right, why we should go to the forest? In previous lives it is okay. But is it related to previous life in the current life, right? What you said in the, previously we said which was really good. We must have to find an advanced association and we need to associate with devotees rather than going to the forest. Sometimes I feel completely impractical. In this dynamic. I'm not telling it's bad, but in this dynamic, right?
But the Bhagavad Gita says you must go to the forest.
Forest? Yeah, people are not telling.
Isn't it Janeshwari? You have to take everything completely literally, don't you? Everything, the Bhagavad Gita said it, so. No. There's another example, you understand? You have to adjust the point. You can't say, the Bhagavad Gita said it's unnatural, so then that's it. You have to adjust the point to time, place, and circumstance. So, same as this. Okay, the forest means 5,000 years ago you can go to the forest, because the forest was okay back then. You can't go to the forest now because it's not okay. And the main point was that previously the sages used to live together. They would go to the forest, but it means they were all there together in the forest. Right? So it was always based on Sangha. Whereas these days there's no one in the forest. So it's,
river forest and farmland.
Yeah, so that's one example. Yeah. You could go there and you could get some association. But then we don't live in the forest anyway, like I don't go into the forest. Yeah. I actually live where we cleared the forest. Okay. So literally the forest means it was different back then. We don't live like that now. So what's the main thing that Prabhupada says? Prabhupada says earlier that you go to the forest called Vrindavan.
No.
He said this earlier in the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. Canto 5 maybe, or I can't remember. So, what's it? Canto 7, I think, he says. That's it. So Prabhupada says you go to the forest. But he said that means Vrindavan. And he says in Vrindavan, we have developed a Krishna Balaram Mandir. You take shelter of that place. So then if you expand that meaning, it means you can come here to Radha Balabha Mandir. Same thing as Krishna Balaram Mandir in one sense. So for us, it means that when you get older, take full advantage of the holy places and the devotees. And the most important thing is the association. Why do you go to Krishna Balaram Mandir? To associate with the advanced devotees who stay there. Why do you come here to the temple? To associate with the advanced devotees who stay here. So that is our system of advancement, not the forest itself. In the old 5,000 years ago, yeah, go to the forest because there's sages there. These days there's not, so you come to the temple. Okay? Are your doubts relieved?
After 50 years, we are in ISKCON moment now. What is retirement for devotees?
It's different. Also, it's different now, like I said. I said that in last night's class too. Because what does it say? Here Prabhupada says 50 retire. Right? So some of my best friends, they're 48 and they're just having kids. So how are they going to retire in 2 years? You know, they give the kid to the wife. You know, 2 years say, oh, Hare Krishna, I'm going now. Yeah. What's that? Yeah. Yeah, they will. They will go to court and yeah, it'll be a whole big thing. So that's one. See, it's another point. Same point that you made about the homosexual thing. Same point you made about the forest. Same point now about retiring at 50. The Kali Yuga is different.
No, but actually tell me, what is retirement for devotees?
Retirement means vanaprast. Vanaprast in the past literally meant go to the vana, forest. These days it means the husband and wife fully absorb themselves in Krishna consciousness or devotional service. So that's what it means. It means just give up your job, you know, and fully dedicate yourself to serving Krishna. Of the
material.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it means the kids are married, all this. That's why we're meant to have kids in our 20s and our 30s. So when you get to 50, the kids are finished, get them married and go. You know, like my friend just had a baby at 48. That means it's going to be 68 until he can go. That's what it means. So this is the situation. This is the situation. So Kali Yuga is not... So time, place, you have to change everything now according to time, place, and circumstances. So just absorb yourself in Krishna's service, that's the matter. Kali Yuga is a big... what does it say in the Bhagavad Gita? Kaleya dosha, Rajan. Dosha niti means ocean of faults. So everything in Kali Yuga is a problem. Nothing in Kali Yuga is the way it should be. So that's what it is. So then Bhagavad Gita says, kasti eko mahanguna. There's one good quality, right? Just chant. Kirtanad eva krishnasya. Just chant. Because everything else is a write-off in Kali Yuga. Right? You look at my life, it's not the way it was supposed to be. You know, it wasn't like a Vedic model like that. So many faults in my life, in my personality, in my birth. So many faults. But what's the one good quality? We chant. So then everything becomes auspicious. But don't look at our material lives, because you look at everyone's material lives, you just see there's problem there, problem there, problem there, problem there, and then. Just look at our good quality, which is we can chant the holy name. Is that okay?
The Gopa says that when you chant Radha and Krishna dancing on your tongue.
Yep.
You are speaking directly.
We have to remember that. Thank you for reminding us. Okay. Which verse are we on?
13.
Okay. A person who is lusty cannot satisfy his mind, even if he has enough of everything in this world, including rice, barley, and other food grains, gold, animals, and women. Nothing can satisfy him. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there are three gateways to hell. What are they? Lust, anger, and greed. So these three will lead you to hell. If you don't control your lust, your life will become very problematic. And if you don't control your greed or your anger, your life will become full of problems. So therefore it is said that we must control these things. Now, Prabhupada's mentioning the purport, to become peaceful in your mind, you have to overcome the urges, which is the first instruction of Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita. Vacho vegan, manasakrota vegan, jiva vegan, udara pasta vegan. So these vegans must be controlled. Right? If you control, then you become peaceful. Dira. Then you become like a peaceful, sober person. So you must control. This is where spiritual life begins. Rupa Goswami says, this is the first verse of the Upadeshamrita, this is the beginning of spiritual life. Become a Goswami. Become sense control, mind control. Then you'll be peaceful. Otherwise you will never know peace if you can't control these things. Now, ultimately, how do we control these things? We have to get a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. When you have a taste for Krishna consciousness, automatically you have distaste for material activities. Because the Bhagavatam is saying, Prabhupada is saying, when you're 50, go to the forest. But you'll see when you're 50, it's not that easy actually. Because you say, I know many devotees who are 50 plus, they can't renounce as much as they probably should or want to. So it's actually, it's theoretically, it's not that difficult, it's not that easy. You know, when I became a devotee, or even when I got married the first time, that's like, 97. It was like, 18 years ago. I thought I was going to become a sannyasi. That in my mind, I thought, yeah, I'll be a sannyasi. When I was 55, I had my plan all worked out, my mind, it was all worked out. 55, I'll take sannyasi. Right now I'm 45 and I can see I'm not going to take sannyas at 55. So it's not as easy as it all sounds. In theory we have all these ideas how we will surrender to Krishna. It's not that easy. Now how does it become easy? When you get a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. If you develop a taste, nama ruchi, vasudev kata ruchi, when you develop a taste in Krishna, easily you'll give up all these things. So the real answer, how to become renounced in this world, how to give up sense gratification, how to give up lust, you have to develop a deep taste in Krishna consciousness. And when you get that deep taste, then automatically those things will go far, far away. As Krishna says in the Gita, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service. He says in the second chapter of the Gita. As supplying butter to a fire does not diminish the fire, but instead increases it more and more, the endeavor to stop lusty desires by continual enjoyment can never be successful. In fact, one must voluntarily cease from material desires. So, you can't overcome lust by simply engaging in lust again and again. That does not overcome the desire. So we have to make practical arrangements to overcome our lust. So it means in grihastha life, the husband and wife may have to sleep separately in different rooms and different beds. It is not compulsory. Many grihasthas sleep in the same bed. like Aniruddha Prabhu and Chincharupa Prabhu, Mataji, they have different rooms, right, from the very beginning. But Bhakta and Bhakti, they sleep in the same bed. They've always done that, and the others have always done the other way. So you have to see, according to your personal situation, what is most advantageous for you to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. But sometimes you have to make practical adjustments or external adjustments to assist your advancement. But the actual way to overcome all these things is just to develop a taste for Krishna. And when you have attraction to Krishna, automatically you give up all material desires. And the final verse. When a man is non-envious and does not desire ill fortune for anyone, he is equipoised. For such a person, all directions appear happy. So this is Lord Chaitanya's teaching. What is Lord Chaitanya's teaching? Trinada pisu niche na, trora pisu hishnu na, amana na mana de na, kirtaniya ha sadahari. So if you live like that, all of your problems go. Because you'll never be envious, you'll never be lusty, you'll always offer respect to others. It Prabhupada says in the purport, even your enemy, you will wish well for him. Think of the person that you dislike the most in this world. It must be someone you really don't like. And still you think good for him. That's pretty hard, isn't it? Not so easy. There's a few people I really don't like. So to think even good for them, that's the type of consciousness we have to come through. And Lord Chaitanya says, when you're like that, Kirtaniya ha sadahari, you can always chant. You'll always be peaceful. And you'll have no lust. All these problems will go. So if we follow Lord Chaitanya's teachings, all of our problems will be overcome. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah. Jai.